Today on a haunting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when two young boys get tucked into their bunk beds for the night, their parents hope for a little peace and quiet. Shortly after, they are violently awakened by two terrified children, loudly shouting and claiming to have seen the spirit of ghostly woman hovering near their beds. Who is this mysterious figure? And was her intention good or pure evil? That story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to check out all of our EPP stuff, extra podcast person stuff, bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, I'm really intrigued because you have been teasing me about a story about your dog, and I still don't know the story about your dog. Because even though we're really good friends, you're like, I'm not telling you. You're going to hear it first on the show.
Yep. And it's
that's the way you are.
And the thing is, it's exclusively for EPPs. So are you an EPP?
No.
Well, then you're not going to know the story. I guess. I'm kidding.
I thought it was an honorary one.
It's $5 a month.
Aren't I an honorary one? Can you dock my pay or something? Could it be like yearly bonus?
That's funny. No, seriously, it's $5 a month.
Seriously, your bonus is you get more episodes of you.
But I have this crazy story, but you know, because it is kind of an unsolved mystery, I decided we'll properly introduce the creepiness with a little bit of Robert here.
Today on another episode of Unsolved Mysteries, this is Buddy the dog. Sure, he looks cute and cuddly, but when you least expect it, its tricks defy reality. Is this dog an angel or a demon from hell waiting to tear his owner's heart out through his ass? We ask the question today on this after-school special episode, Unsolved Mysteries.
Wow, it's an after-school special of Unsolved Mysteries, so that's quite explicit of the dog or angel or a demon from hell trying to tear his owner's heart out through his ass.
And that would be you.
I know. That's the scary part. And I don't get that vibe from Buddy. But, you know, some days he kind of looks at you strange.
And let's clarify. We're not talking my Buddy. We're talking your dog Buddy.
Yes, we're talking my dog Buddy, the Border Collie.
And your dog Buddy, by the way, is really adorable.
He's a great dog. I absolutely love this dog. And he's so friendly and he's so laid back. And he's a great dog. And him and Sting get along really well. But if I put a Buddy or just let him roam around the house, if I leave, he has anxiety and he starts to try to tear up door frames. That's kind of his thing.
That's bad. My Buddy did that at my mom's house once.
Yeah. So
it was a rental.
Yeah.
That was bad.
So I can't allow him just to hang out. I tried the mudroom and he did it there. So I put him in a kennel. I mean, it's a nice big size kennel for him. And it's the one I use with Sting too sometimes, but Sting doesn't tear things up. So Sting actually goes into the mudroom. And I get last night, we gave them both baths cause they all got dirty playing in the field last night. And then they were just still wet no matter how much we tried to dry them down. So I said, well, let's just put them in their places for tonight, not in our bedrooms. And then in the morning, you know, we'll be fine. So I did that, and it starts storming here at about like 4. So I know Buddy has anxiety with storms. So I got up, and I'm just going to see if he's dry enough, you know, bring him into the bedroom because he just likes to be close to me. So get out, open the door to the garage. He's already out of his crate. This is like a metal wire crate that he was in.
That has a metal latch that.
Yes. Two metal latches. Yeah, two metal latches. And they
were shut?
The latches?
Yeah, or did he somehow get them open?
Yes, the latches were completely shut.
What?
I couldn't figure it out. He like bent metal on this thing, on like the bars, like Superman, you know, like.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if he's doing it with his teeth or his paw. I got to put a camera on this. But anyway, he didn't just do that. I mean, the metal was not, and what he bent was not big enough for him to get out or anything like that. So he continues to do this, and he's pulling different pieces of the door around, and he somehow got out. So I kind of saw where maybe he had a little wedge way to get through, and then I kind of rebent the door back to how it was and put it back on. So later in the day, I had to run another errand. Can't put him in there. Thought maybe, you know, because he's never done this before. He's back out again, but this time there's like no sign of damage or tampering with the locks at all.
What the hell?
He just, I don't know. It was
that's
just,
crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like with those kennels, I mean, you could normally see it's like, because the dog's having a panic attack. Buddy used to have him, mm-hmm. and he broke his tooth off in a kennel at the vet. He was sedated.
Yeah.
And broke his tooth trying to get out under sedation. But dogs are like that.
Yeah.
So both of our buddies are like that, and they have those panic attacks. But so it's real common for them to, you know, use their mouths or their feet to get out. But you would normally be able to see how they did it.
Yeah. So I don't know. He's kind of he's an escape artist. He knows his way around things. He's very crafty. He reads a lot online.
He's a little. You should name him MacGyver instead of Buddy.
I think he kind of strays, pardon the pun, more towards Unabomber territory than MacGyver. Quite honestly, I think
so he could be Buddy Bomber.
Yeah, I mean, he has a vendetta with the world. He's very, very quiet. He would never physically harm anybody. He would just kind of go about his day. But I think deep down, he hates society. And I've seen him try to type letters. It doesn't work out so well yet. But he's kind of like...
No opposable thumbs. It's hard.
Well, and he's trying to manicure like a certain claw down so it can hit the keys and he can be more in control. But I think at some point we might get a manifesto out of him. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to be building bombs anytime soon.
I do like the Buddy Bomber. That's a good name.
The dog, that's a terrorist. Yeah. That would be, that's almost like an SNL bet or something. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this story. It says, so when I was 5, we lived in a small duplex in Fort Worth. My brother and I shared a room with a red metal bunk bed. One afternoon, we were napping, my brother being on the bottom bunk and me on the top, since I had dibs as the older brother, and we're feeling a strange presence, kind of like how you know when your parents are watching. I woke up and saw a man sitting in the chair by the desk in our room. He was just looking at us, smiling, and nodded his head. I was confused since I didn't know this man at all. Yet for some reason, I felt like I didn't need to be afraid. I climbed down the ladder and began to walk out the door and ran to my mom. I ran to her and said, Mom, Mom, there's a man in our room watching me and Mark, my brother. She didn't believe me and thought I was joking. But she decided to play along and asked, well, what does he look like? I began to describe the man in detail to my mom. As I can distinctly remember, her eyes got a little watery and she smiled. She was happy. She then got up, walked over to the bookshelf we had in the living room, and grabbed a really big book of photos she had on the top shelf. She opened it up at the table with me, and she sat me on her lap. She opened it up to a picture of a man and pointed at it and asked me, is this the man you saw in your room, Matthew? My eyes widened and my voice raised. This is him. This is the man, Mom. She laughed a little and then told me that he's my great-grandfather. He passed away a few years before I was born. She told me how I reminded her of him. She told me that there isn't any reason to be scared ever if I saw him and that he's just looking over me and my brother. I smiled and said, okay, then ran back to my room, waved at my great-grandfather and went back to sleep. I have many more stories about my own experiences and other experiences from my parents and grandparents when they lived in New Jersey. Take care, everyone. I will share at another time. Thoughts on that?
I think that's one of those kind of cool stories that, like, you like to think that, you know, your grandparents would watch over you, or your parents, mm-hmm. or someone you, you know, like an aunt who you never got to know. And that's, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and I hope, like, it wasn't a terrifying experience. It doesn't sound like it was, although mm-hmm. it could be.
Yeah.
But I think when, you know, that loving spirit presents themselves with love surrounding them, and mm-hmm. you pick up on that.
Yeah. I do too. I think it was probably a good thing.
There are evil parents and evil grandparents in this world. And I think one would know if one of them showed up, but mine weren't like that.
Yeah.
But I think you would feel that loving kind of presence about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see that, but, you know, you're not scared of it.
Until one day, both people die. And then suddenly, it's a comedy years in the making. Generations, if you'd say so. When one horrible, abusive parent dies, and then their child does 25 years later, they're reunited at the pearly gates. They hate each other. One had a restraining order against the other. The other tried to kill the other in their sleep. But now, because they're in heaven, they gotta work it out. Don't miss This Is Heaven, Thursday nights on QVC.
And stick around to buy some shit you don't need.
There'll be constantly little scrolls on the bottom of the screen for shit you can buy while you're watching that.
Yeah, it's like Bob's shirt. Buy it now.
Yeah.
Only 2,000 left. We've already sold 6,000 Bob shirts. Out of Bob shirts, how would you like to buy Bruce's shirt?
You know, what it's going to be more of is... how people really enjoy, this is kind of a genius idea here, how people very much enjoy wearing things that, like, they've seen on television and things of that nature. And because people aren't going to be necessarily, you know, there'll be TV sets of some sort, but everybody's so much more engrossed in their more personal type devices. I think you'll have more movies and things where, or television shows especially, where, you know, like this shirt, click on it, you know, or something. And then it's a direct sale type thing.
Oh my God, that'd be really funny. So they're in heaven and it's like, they're standing next to, you know, Jesus, and Jesus has got this staff.
Yeah.
And so, or whoever, St. Peter, he's got some keys, let's say. So then there's like, they're doing their dialogue, but then there's arrows and it's like, want these keys? And then it breaks to the announcer real quick. You can buy St. Peter's keys right now. And then it's like, next thing you know, it's pointing. It's like, Tony bought the keys.
Yeah.
Good job, Tony. And then later, just so you got to be paying close attention, because at any times an item could come up for sale.
Exactly. There you go. That's, I think, the future of
QVC anyway.
I'm amazed that QVC even exists. And like, why? Why does it even exist? I mean, clearly they're making enough money to keep it afloat. But I don't know. I thought that would be one of the first things that died when the internet came about, honestly. And it's still one of the longest running.
No, I think people are like, I love whoever that lady is. Or that lady has the best skincare line, so they're going to have that sale on it.
Interesting. It's just interesting. That still goes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would, of course, love to hear them. Let's jump over to this phone call. Or I gotta look at something here. Yeah, I think we did. No, Jody. Remember Jody?
I don't know.
She had a call the other week, and then there's a part two to it.
Oh yeah, I do.
Let's pull up that.
Let's do part two.
Yes, we've been talking about going to hear the second part of that. Okay, so here we go. Part two of Jody's story.
Hi, Brusky. This is Jody calling back from Oregon with the second part of my story. I didn't want it to cut me off. So anyway, I was just brushing you up on my childhood and all my experiences. Going into my adulthood, the earliest thing I can remember was I was working at a bar in my early 20s, and I would close at night, and it was the weirdest thing. I would be sitting up at the main bar, getting everything cleaned up, and I kept seeing a man move from in my peripheral, you know, on my left side of my visual, peripheral vision. And we were closed. We weren't supposed to have anybody in there, but it was over by the pool tables. And I would turn around and no one would be there, you know, and then I could see him. He had a flannel on. He was tall. He had on dark jeans. And finally, I just said something to my bar manager one night. It just came out of my mouth. I go, I swear, right about this time, I see this man dressed up in this plaid shirt, about blah, blah, tall. And I go, he moves from there to there. And he like moves like towards the wall. And my bar manager's face just went white. He goes, you know, what color hair? Was he white? Was he, you know, asking me all these questions? I was like, yeah, that's what he looked like. I go, but he keeps moving towards the wall. And I didn't know this. But when I was, I think he said it must have happened about my early teens. The bar used to be owned by a husband and a wife that were getting divorced, and something about a new boyfriend to the wife, and he got jealous and he walked in there and he shot and killed her and then killed himself. And they had remodeled the bar, and where I keep seeing that person walking was where the front door used to be. And I guess that was the path that he took. And my bar manager apparently was working the night that that had happened. So yeah, he was completely freaked out and I was freaked out. Cause that's, I didn't know that. But anyway, so things like that would, I can still see the stuff like that. Things accelerated. I moved to San Francisco at one point. And I would tell him little things like, hey, you know, I don't feel safe, or this is area is giving me anxiety. Can we please go over here? He started saying, oh, you're crazy, thinking I was nuts. But then a few major things happened. Like, we were out one night, at the bars, and there, was this tiny bar, and it was completely packed full of people. And, we were just bar hopping, and I had to go to the bathroom, and he goes, just use the bathroom here. And I'm like, no, I just had this really, really uneasy feeling. Like, I physically couldn't bring myself to walk into the back of that bar. I don't know what it was, but it was, I just couldn't do it. And he's like, you're being ridiculous. I go, can we just finish our drinks and move to the next bar? And so we waited about 15 minutes. Everyone was finishing their drinks. And then we were literally like just right next to the front door. And all of a sudden we heard these screaming, and these girls came running outside, and they've got blood going down their face. And apparently in the girls' line to the bathroom, there was some kind of a fight, and this girl like took a broken bottle and sliced their faces open. So my ex is like, that's a coincidence. I'm like, whatever. And then on Halloween 2006, I always wanted to go to the Castro to do their Halloween party, because I, you know, it's a big to-do down there, and I guess it's pretty elaborate. And so I was excited. And so we went down there, we're dressed up, and this year they had put up gates, and they were going through people's bags. Apparently that was a new thing they were doing. So I actually had an alcoholic beverage in my hand in a to-go cup, and so I go, well, I'll just finish this because they're clearly not going to let me in with it. So we were standing on the corner across the way from the gate, and before I knew it, we were just people watching, and I realized after about 10 minutes my back was up against the building. I had slowly been stepping back, and I didn't realize it. And, cause I was trying to read, you know, just people watching and reading the crowd, you know, looking at all the crazy costumes, but I realized I was full of anxiety. And I was like, oh, I have a bad feeling. And I looked at my ex and I go, honey, we have to go. He's like, oh, we just got here. You're being ridiculous. I'm like, no, I think we need to go. He's like, no, 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 no. You're doing that thing again. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to shake it off. Well, maybe if we just go get in line, or maybe if we just, you know, I don't know. I was trying to shake myself out of it. I couldn't, and it was getting worse. And I finally got mad at him. I go, we need to leave. And he got mad, and he's like, you're wrecking my fun. And then we started walking towards the car, and there was this guy playing drums on a bunch of 5-gallon buckets. And he goes, just let me watch him. I was like, okay, fine. 1 minute. I didn't even make 15 seconds. I literally, my fight or flight kicked in, and I grabbed him by his arm and I yanked him up the street. I go, we need to leave now. And as soon as we almost got to the car, I mean, he's mad at me, stomping and whatever. And all of a sudden our phones started blowing up, and all of our friends were like, oh my gosh, are you guys okay? Are you okay? We're like, yeah, we're fine. Right where we were standing, this guy opened fire and shot, I think it was like 6 people right where we were standing. And he looked at me and he's like, oh my God, I will never doubt you again. Like, you know, he couldn't believe it. And then after that, he like kept trying to bring me to psychics and stuff. It was funny. I did see a residual of a guard in Alcatraz up on the upper level where you're not supposed to be. That's how I knew that that's what it was. So that was pretty neat. And then I've seen residuals in at the cemetery. My great grandparents are buried. It's the same old guy. He walks the same way, wears the same outfit. It took me about 3 times to figure out that he was a residual. But then things got kind of weird. 2009, actually, my dad passed. So that was really traumatic for me. He died of cancer. I knew it was going to happen. So I was, you know, trying to prepare myself as much as I could. But after that, I started experiencing the quote unquote succubus. I don't really know how to put it into words. It actually happened the weekend before he passed. The first time it happened, my boyfriend was over, and he got up to use the bathroom, and he woke me up. So I was laying on my right side, you know, towards the wall, and he went to the bathroom. I remember the light going on and everything, and I opened my eyes, and out of nowhere, this clown came out of the wall, which is weird because I don't think about clowns. I'm not afraid of them. They don't cross my mind. And the clown went to the foot of the bed, and I rolled over because I was like, what in the world? I'm sober. How is this happening? The clown starts to get on my bed, and my boyfriend came back to bed, and it went away. I thought, well, oh my God, that was so weird. So after my dad passed, it continued to happen at least a couple times a week in my bedroom. For about a month and a half, 2 months, to where I started sleeping on the couch. I was petrified. But at this time, it had now morphed into being a dark shadow. It was no longer a clown. And it would get on me. I know with sleep paralysis, you can't move your body, but I can move my body every single time. I could roll over. I could move my eyes. I could feel it on top of me. I could feel its hands on my arm. It's sitting on my pelvis, crawling up my body. Like, I felt it. And finally, I just had been sick of it. And I yelled one night. I got mad and I yelled at it to get out of my house. And I never saw it again after that. So to this day, I'm kind of on the fence about those things. I don't really know what they are. I mean, scientifically, it makes sense of sleep paralysis, but I also can't explain like what I experienced. So I've never had that before. I hope I never do again, because that was really unpleasant. And then 2017, I actually got into a really bad car accident. I lost all of that. I couldn't dream. I couldn't connect with anything anymore. My anxiety was just off the charts. And then I started waking up periodically with 3, looks like fingerprints, in 3 separate parts of my body. Like, one would be on my bicep, one would be on my stomach, and then the other set would be on my thigh. and it would just randomly happen. So at that time, I felt like I was just running on just, I don't know what, pure adrenaline, because I had some pretty significant injuries and I was trying to heal. So I don't know if that was causing it, or maybe it had nothing to do with it. I don't know, but I have no idea why I was waking up with bruises like that. It was random. Like every 3 to 6 months, I would wake up with it. At that point, really, this car accident completely unraveled my life. Like everything I worked for, it was gone. I couldn't do what I normally did. It was pretty bad. 2019, a couple years later, I was living in this house that had hardwood floors, and I came home. I was the only one there, and my bedroom to get to my stairs was in the middle of the hallway, and it was just kind of like this area where all of the bedroom doors and the bathroom door and everything just kind of met. And I came home and I went up the stairs and the dog followed me upstairs. And I went over to my bed and I was going to change clothes, and the dog gets up there, and all of a sudden I hear someone's footsteps in the hallway. Shouldn't be anyone there. I locked the door behind me when I came in the house. I don't know what that was. And I stopped and I listened, and I heard the feet shuffling more throughout the hallway, and I grabbed the dog's collar and I went, oh crap. And I thought, did someone leave a back door open, a window, something? The dog started growling. I called 911 because I didn't know what to do. I'm upstairs in my bedroom, and the 911 operator said, you know, someone's there, and I could hear the canines in the backyard. I mean, they're doing a perimeter search. And at that time, just before I heard the dogs, my dog breaks loose, runs downstairs, and is going after I don't know what. The police finally said, hey, open the door. They searched the whole house. They didn't find anyone. They said, oh, maybe you imagined it. I know I didn't imagine it. I clearly heard footsteps. I know what I heard. The dog heard it. The dog chased it. So I can't explain it, but it scared the tar out of me. Around that time, I also started meditating and doing mindfulness and, what's called grounding, putting your bare feet on the ground. Just trying to feel the energy. I was trying to jumpstart, my pathway. I don't really know what to call it. Sorry, I'm really uneducated about this stuff. But I was trying to get back to it because my anxiety was so out of control and I felt so unsafe. So I didn't know if I was waking something up or what. I started saging at that time after I got the last marks on my body, which was about a couple of years ago. And I haven't had that happen since. I'm wondering if I shook it. I hope I did because it was really scary. Anyway, that's pretty much it. I just don't know what to do with all of this. I have no outlet. I do want to thank you for having this community that's able to come together and talk about these things, because, I can't talk about it with most people. They look at me like I'm crazy, or I'm growing an antler out of the middle of my forehead. I don't know. But it's nice to be able to get that off your chest. I would like some help. I don't know if there's like specific websites or anything like that you would recommend, or certain groups of people, or I mean, I really would like to explore this part of myself just so I can get a better understanding, and also to feel like I can feel more protected. Cause I feel like if I don't pay attention to it, bad things will happen, or they'll creep in. And I won't notice it. And I don't want that to happen. Thanks you guys so much. I really appreciate your show. And thanks for all you do. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that story. Thoughts?
There's so many thoughts, Tony.
Yeah.
Number one, she's had a lot of shit happen to her.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting, the whole thing that happened, like with the boyfriend, let's get out of here. And then thing like really, like those aren't paranormal things that happened. it just saved her life or yeah. kept her from being like horrifically injured. You know, I think that's fascinating. I always say, listen to your gut. You always got to listen to your gut, and she's got a good one. But there's just so many things, and like looking for websites or help, I don't have any advice there. And maybe you do because you've heard more stories than I have.
I don't have anybody specific that I ever really recommend or anything like that. I don't know enough about people one-on-one to really ever make recommendations. But there's certainly a lot of people. I mean, if you listen to the other show, The Grave Talks, there's people on there all the time that talk about these things. And they're findable, you know, out there. You may find some interest in, or that maybe you know, like have a conversation with.
And I think, but, you know, we all deal with things, our sensitivities differently. And I've always been, I don't want to explore that part of me. And I think when you do explore that part of you, which I get why some people want to, mm-hmm. but I believe like it opens up stuff I don't want opened up.
Yeah.
And so to me, I'm the person like that walks into a room, gets a weird feeling, and I'm like immediately, do not go home with me. I don't want you. Like, I will talk to things that aren't there. I will be like, please leave me alone. I don't, you know, I'm just here looking at this house. I mm-hmm. don't want to bother anybody, but I don't want to explore that. I really don't. Yeah. But I do get why some people do. Like, that's why the whole, like when I went out with friends recently on our little paranormal investigation that we didn't get a go.
Yeah.
But we're going to. That's a little different. We're going to do it with beer. And I mean, it really isn't a serious one. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more an excuse to have an experience with some of my good friends.
Yeah.
And drink some beer. But like those people that we're doing it with, they get that we're only doing it for the kind of fun mm-hmm. of it. And not serious and paranormal investigation, because I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But like they go spend the night in these really crazy ass places. And I'm like, I don't get how you do that. And so there are people who are drawn to it. And I wonder someone like her who's so, you know, she's got it going on. I don't think she needs to explore it or get in touch with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there might be other parts of her life that, you know, other things that she could do that mm-hmm. might be healthy.
Yeah.
Hobbies, things to keep your mind occupied. Mm-hmm. Then to really look into, I don't know. I could be way off base. It's just like to me as a feeling, I don't feel like she should go further into that.
Yeah.
Because maybe going further into that is what's stirring all the shit up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's so different.
There's a lot of possibilities. There's no one right answer, and it's really kind of a personal choice for whatever she does decide she wants to do. I would just say start digging around, and that's where you could find, I think, more answers or more ideas on what, you know, what would feel right.
And I say, what do you like to do? Are you interested in pottery? Like really dive into pottery.
Well, add a lot of positivity.
I'm like, dive into something that interests you that's not in that realm.
The thing is, I mean, the other thing would be make sure you're in a good place. Make sure there's a lot of positivity in your life. That's the biggest thing to fend off anything that's going to be negative.
And find something that lights you up from the inside. That's a positive, mm-hmm. good, healing sort of thing.
But Carol does not mean swallowing fairy lights.
Bad idea.
Yep.
You know, going on paranormal investigations, I think would be really bad for her.
Yeah.
But my God, she's had so many interesting experiences that I don't know that she's someone who could ever turn it off. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think that if you have another outside, you know, some outside things and activities and hobbies and stuff, maybe you focus more energy on that and some of this goes into the background. I don't know. It's tough.
Thanks for sharing that story. And if you got more, please do call back in. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up. at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening.